The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to us from Iran. We're going to speak about comparison of this life and hereafter.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Wednesday, 13th of the month of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 30th of August, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to Allah's words for today, verse 32 of chapter Al-An'am.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون.
And the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion, but the home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. So will you not reason?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
If the life of this world does not be considered as a field for the coming world, it becomes a toy, and human beings will be busy as children will with playthings such as property, position, and so on. Their status can be resembled to the scene of the theater, where a person appears in the guise of a king, another one plays in the function of a servant, and the third one becomes a minister therein. After some while, all the clothing and functions will be set aside, and these persons actually find out that it has been only a play, or a film wherein they had a role of playing.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness, everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. You are the light. You guide me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
In this episode, we're speaking about comparison of this life and the hereafter. It is narrated, the most privileged people in the world from the people of the hereafter will come on the day of resurrection to be dipped into the hellfire. Then it will be said, O son of Adam, did you see any good? Did you get any blessing? He will say, No, by Allah my Lord, then the most miserable person, people in the world from the people of paradise will come on the day of resurrection to be dipped in the paradise. Then it will be said, O son of Adam, did you see any hardship? Did you have any distress? He will say, No, by Allah, my Lord, I did not once see hardship or distress. The person who endured the most hardship for the sake of Allah will soon forget all of his pain and suffering after he is dipped into paradise, only for a moment. In contrast, the person who had the most pleasure in the world for the sake of himself will soon forget all of his happiness after he is dipped into hellfire for only a moment.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in this session we shall be talking about this world and the hereafter and how we can achieve the excess of both worlds, this world and the hereafter. The next point that we want to refer to about the relationship between this world and the hereafter and how can we achieve the success of both worlds is to focus and pay attention to wealth versus poverty or asceticism. Are we against wealth or are we for asceticism? Let's talk about it a bit. A question comes to mind. Does not Islam, like other religions, prefer poverty to wealth and affluence? The reality is that Islam does not consider poverty or affluence as the goal. The ultimate goal is submission to the will of God, and whatever helps that submission is preferred. Therefore, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, wealth which prevents you from injustice is better than poverty which pushes you towards sin. So what does Islam say about asceticism or zuhd? Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam explains the real meaning of asceticism in this way. Asceticism or zuhd in this world is neither neglecting your wealth nor making the permissible halal things into forbidden or haram. Instead, zuhd in this world means that your wealth should not be stronger to you in attachment than what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. On this part, we'll look at one tip on how to focus on the hereafter. Start living as a stranger. We all know this, but in a real life, many of us are in denial. However, we are moving. We are on a train going to a final destination. And we have three stations, and one has already passed your time in the womb. You came into this world, the second stop is your life in this world, and third station is the everlasting station of the hereafter. The Messenger of Allah said, be in the world as if you were a stranger or a traveler along the path. If you survive till late afternoon, do not expect to be alive in the morning. If you survive till morning, do not expect to be alive in the late afternoon. Take from your health before your sickness and your life before your death. Price we pay for not giving this life its due share. However, we do have to give this life its due share. We have to live it. We cannot escape from it, nor can we ignore the real challenges it poses. We see from the life of the Prophet that he was an active and successful merchant before being chosen as a prophet. During his life of prophethood, he had family and dealt with worldly affairs like any fully engaged human being. We too are supposed to lead life utilizing all the resources Allah Most Glorious has bestowed on us. Accordingly, we need to educate ourselves in worldly matters and to use that knowledge to lead a good life and also to be help prevent injustices and exploitation of humanity at large. The life of example of the Prophet and the infallible Imams should make it clear as to how we should engage ourselves in the activities of this life. No one should withdraw from life forgetting his responsibilities.
بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. You give a preference to this lower life, whereas that one, the real life, the eternal life, خير is better for you, وأبقى and everlasting. This is not everlasting. This is not everlasting. God says in this verse, always put values first. Don't compromise your covenant with God. Don't compromise your values, your principles. Don't compromise the truth and justice. Don't compromise it, even if you lose. Because nothing in this life is more valuable than your covenant with God. Covenant that you have with God is number one. Everything else is number two and number three. So don't sacrifice this covenant that you made with God, this contract that you signed. So here in 96, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ in 95, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا إِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Surely that which is with God is better for you, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you know, if you realize, if you reflect, if you think, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then the next one says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ. This is powerful, my friends. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ indeed. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What is with you comes to an end. But what is with God subsists, stays, does not go out.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode of this program tomorrow. Same channel and same time. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on an aphorism from Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Thank you.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith. This hadith is about the virtue of consolation. By consolation, we don't mean simply consoling another person at their loss or at the time when one of their dear people, relatives, or family members dies. We should take this here in a general sense of, consoling another person when they are in hard times, when they have incurred a loss. That loss could be, financial. It could be related to the death of a relative. It could be anything. Imam Qadhim alayhi salam said the following to Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Asimi, one of the companions apparently of Imam Qadhim. He said, "O Asim, how are you at maintaining contact with each other and offering consolation to each other," meaning consoling one another. This person, he said, the best that anybody can be. He thought he was better than everyone else at doing this, it was impossible for anybody to be better at this than him. The Imam said the following: "Do any of you come to your brother's shop or his home in times of hardship, and you pull out your purse for him to take whatever he needs without disapproving of him?" Meaning, if you know your brother in faith, he's undergoing hard times, do you go to him, hand over your wallet to him and say, "Hey, you can take out whatever you want from this, don't worry"? Or no, you don't do that. This person said, "No, I don't do that." The Imam said, "Then you are not at a state of mutual assistance that I love," meaning you haven't reached that state of consolation which I approve of and that I want you to be at. And you haven't reached that peak or that ultimate form of consolation that you claim to have achieved. And as you can see, this is a very difficult state to arrive at. In one hadith, we read the following. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "He who has two shirts to wear should give the other to his brother to wear." And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, the best of goodness is giving consolation to one's brothers. In fact, and this is interesting, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, consoling one's brother for the sake of Allah increases one's sustenance. So that same, the person who, you know, goes into the shop of his brother or the home of his brother, hands over his wallet to him or his purse to him and says, hey, you can take out whatever you want from here. I'm not going to say anything. The same person, by doing this, he's increasing his risk and increasing his sustenance, you know. Even though apparently he thinks that, you know, he's incurring a loss here. In fact, he is. His sustenance is increasing in this way. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at consolation, the virtue of consoling one another in the words of Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslim brothers and sisters actually. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Hassan, and Fawad Haider. I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum jami'a. How are you? Fine. Everybody's fine?
Yes.
Great. Inshallah, today we will talk about an important thing, an important subject on verses 138 and 139 of Surah An-Nisa. In these two verses, Allah Almighty mentions important points. Let's go, inshallah, and learn them. First, we will listen to the recitation. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا.
So Allah Almighty says in Ayah 138 and 139 of Surah An-Nisa, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما. O Prophet, inform or give the news to the hypocrites, munafiq. Okay, somebody who who is two-faced. Okay, with believers, shows himself as a believer. With non-believers, he is non-believer. All right?
Yes.
He also comes to masjid. Okay? He comes to masjid and shows off himself, praying a lot, a very, very good prayer. But when he goes out of the masjid, he is the same person. The same pottage as the same bowl, okay? He is the same person who was plotting against Muslims, who was doing haram things. He's the same person. He's called Munafiq. Why? Because he is not in one of the sides. He's not either on the right side or on the left side. مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ Allah Almighty says, he's here, he's nor there or here, okay? He's in between. So these kind of people are called Munafiq. Those people are called hypocrites or yes. Munafiqin. Allah Almighty tells the Prophet, okay, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inform the hypocrites بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا that there is a painful punishment for them. Alright. In the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, who are those hypocrites? Some of the characteristics of these people. Look, الَّذِينَ مُنَافِقِينَ are those people يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ those who take the faithless for allies مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ instead of the faithful. They claim that they are believers. Hey man, if you are a believer, what are you doing with non-believer? Alright? If you are with Imam Hussein, if you love Imam Hussein, what are you doing in Yazid's army? Huh? If you are a follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a follower of the Prophet, what are you doing with Muawiyah? What are you doing with Yazid? What are you doing with the other enemies of Islam? What's going on with you? Okay? الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَا they take kuffar, the non-believers, as their friends, as their allies. Okay? For example, they come and they attend the meetings of Muslims, okay, the believers. But after the meeting is ended, they go and they are having their fun with other people, with non-Muslims, with kuffar. Munafiqin are like this. If you want to know who is a munafiq, this is the characteristic of a munafiq. Okay? For example, they are saying a lot of, for example, sentences, announcements, okay, that we follow the religion, we follow the government, Islamic government, from blah, 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 blah. But in fact, they're not doing. This is something apparently they do, okay? In reality, they're plotting a lot of things. This is munafiq. And they are seeking honor. They are seeking their secular advantages, Allah Almighty says. Okay, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ Allah Almighty is raising a question. Do these munafiq people seek honor with these non-believers? They think that these disbelievers, non-believers, this kuffar will bring for them honor, will give them pride, will give them benefit, huh? Will give them strength, power? Allah Almighty says, no. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا If so, if they are looking for honor, to get honor from the non-believers. Okay? Come on. Indeed, all honor belongs to Allah Almighty. Okay? So we should be really careful. Alhamdulillah, we are not such kind of people. But we really have to be careful. Okay? So, guys, that's it. I hope, inshallah, we have learned something from this ayah. From this two verses. No questions?
No.
No questions? If you are ready to go to the Tajweed rules, and if our brothers and sisters are ready, let's recite a salawat and then go. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil al-Fajr.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmurni min faydi dhiya ayatul
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
So the second part of our class is, of course, the Tajweed rules and the recitation. Bashir al-Munafiqin. Bashir is the word is command. It's a command. Fi'alul amr, it's called. So bashir, it ends with sakin. Ra has a sukun. It has a kasra down there, okay? But in reality, it doesn't have a kasra. Bashir. Okay? But since the next word starts with sakin, the letter lam is sakin, hamzatul wasl is used there as well because of that sakin letter. So two sakin letters are there. The meeting of two sakin letters. Hurrik will kasra. They will have a kasra. The first one will have a kasra. Bashir ril munafiqina. One of the rules is this, which is applied here. بشر المنافقين بأن yeah, what do you see? What do you say this? What? بأن نون مشدد. Could you say the rule?
You stretch the sound. Produce a nasal sound.
All right, that's correct. بأن we don't say بأن بأنهم بأن لهم. Okay, no. بأن لهم عذاباً أليماً عذاباً تنوين. Ali Nasir, you tell us. تنوين plus حمزة. Do we change, do we merge تنوين, or we skip it, or we don't bring any changes?
No change.
No changes.
Yeah.
عذاباً أليماً. Normally read it. Good job. So I'll read it. You repeat after me. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما
بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما
أحسنتم الذين you see that if the word starts with حمزة الوصل you put a فتح on the top yeah الذين not إلذين not أولذين الذين it starts with حمزة الوصل and also it has لام التعريف it's a noun that's why the rule says that way يتخذون pay attention to the letter ذال يتخذون الكافرين you ignore حمزة الوصل you join نون to the لام نالكافرين أولياء The mad is wajib, stretch it. مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِنَ مِن نُن ساكين plus دال Hussein, you tell us. What rule is applied here?
إخفاء.
You hide the sound of نُن?
Yes.
Good job. مِن Hiding is like you're trying to pronounce the letter نُن, but not completely yet. Your lips go and wants to touch, like your tongue, sorry. Your tongue goes to the articulation point. Min, but you don't let it go there, okay? Min, prevent it. Pull it back. Min,
yes.
Pull it back. And produce the sound from, try to produce the sound of noon from your nose, not from your mouth. Min, very simple. So, min, du, nil, huh? Mu'minin. The letter jim tells, huh? Hassan, you tell us. The letter jim there on the top, baby jim.
It's optional to stop or continue.
Optional to stop or continue. Good job, good job. Ayabtaghuna. Ayabtaghuna. The letter ba has a sukun on the top. Says, huh? You should?
Qalqala.
Apply the rule qalqala. Echo the sound. Bounce the sound, mashallah. Ayabtaghuna. Indahumul izza. Indahum, the same as miandun. Ikhfa, you hide the sound. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا changes to جَمِيعًا ready to repeat after me?
Yes.
الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين
من دون المؤمنين من right apply it with عندهم don't forget it أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا
أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا
ما شاء الله صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Allah bless you, inshallah. See you in the next session with the next verses of Surah and Nisa. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless.
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجائي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين. زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة العاشوراء So stay with us
بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصابي بك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this part of زيارة العاشوراء. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. Therefore, I ask Allah, who venerated your station and honored me through you, to provide me the succor to avenge for your blood with a supported leader from the family of Muhammad. May Allah pour down His mercy on him and his progeny. Regarding this, we said that one of the possible meanings of avenging Imam Hussein alayhi salam's blood is by true meaning of intidar al-faraj. This intidar is full of dynamism and it is not a passive phenomenon. One of the questions that may occur in some minds is that history tells us that Mukhtar al-Thaqafi and his supporters tried to avenge the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his sincere companions. They ensured the slaying of all those who played a part in the oppression of in the plains of Karbala, actually. Their slogan, likewise, was similar to what is anticipated from Imam al-Hujjah and his loyal companions in the near future. When they would fight, they would cry out, Ya Litharat al-Hussein, O Avengers of Blood of Hussein, come to our aid. In light of this, the question is, what is the meaning of avenging the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with the Imam of our time? What is the case? What could be the practical aspect of avenging the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with the Imam of our time? Examining the meaning of this, the contemporary philosopher and esteemed knowledgeable person about the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, in his brilliant book, has said that it should be noted that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has two personalities, one neutral and one legal. Those who martyred the Imam martyred both his personalities, and men like Mukhtar avenged the blood of both his personalities. However, the slayer of his legal personality, the slayer of imamah, the slayer of leadership, guardianship and wilayah, are always there. There are always those who mislead the people when it comes to wilayah and imamah. It is such people whom we must confront. This is a very interesting part, an aspect of avenging the blood of Hussein.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, dear listeners, as we said, avenging the blood of Hussein alayhi salam makes sense even during the time of the 12th Holy Imam, who would have to face those who are against the leadership that Almighty Allah wants on the earth. So when we pray, when we actually pray humbly, and we say, we actually ask Almighty Allah to make us from the avengers of the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we should try to seek those attributes that the true companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Imam of our time possess. We should try to be like the true meaning of ashab of the Imams. A noteworthy point that Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli alluded to in his discussion about the avenging of the blood of Hussein is this qualification to avenge the Imam's blood. And that's why he said there are two aspects, there are two kinds of personalities. There is one, this personality about which we say that Mukhtar avenged the blood of Imam's personality. But this legal aspect, the slayer of which is always in the world, and we see the different cases of the slayer of wilaya and leadership of the Imams, it is such people whom we must confront. And against these people, we have to ready ourselves. We have to personify ourselves with taqwa and with God-wariness in order to be ready to fight against them. That's why we say, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَ مَقَامَكَ وَأَكْرَمَنِي بِكَ. We ask the Almighty Allah who venerated your station and honored me through you, أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي طَلَبَ ثَارِكَ, to provide me the succor to avenge for your blood. And this succor is only provided if we personify ourselves with this karama, the most obvious example of which is taqwa and God-wariness. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanted whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
بسم
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are going to deal with some of the questions and answers of jurisprudential nature related to the event of Arba'in, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. I'm Sheikh Zawid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws about Arba'in event according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Zawid, can someone who has made a vow, whose date of fulfillment is the day of Arba'in, perform their pledge on the day prior to Arba'in?
Well, if he has not uttered this specific